Jeremiah chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Verse number 11 says, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit." Verse 12, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord." Verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Amen. That can hold no water. Amen. With the help of the Lord, will you help me pray one more time? Amen. Dear Jesus, we come humbly before you seeking your face. Would you speak to us, God? Let our ears be open and attentive. Let our hearts be receptive unto your word. God, and I pray for myself that you would anoint my mind in these feeble lips of clay, that I may speak that acceptable word of the Lord. And God, I pray that you bless your people today. Help us. Help us to grow. Help us to understand. Open our eyes. Enlighten our way, God. Give us understanding today. I pray. We ask for your anointing above everything else. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I stole a quote, if I can say it that way, from Brother Jeff Arnold. And he said this: "Today, God would rather pardon me than punish me. He would rather forgive me than forsake me. He would rather restore me than reject me." I have this saying in many places. I had it taped to the dash of my pickup for probably close to 6 or 8 months to remind even myself that this is what God would rather do. Amen. Amen. If we go here to this opening setting, I want to read it to you in the NIV version. And it says this: "Has a nation ever changed its gods? Yet they are not gods at all." And this really got me in this interpretation or this version. It said, "But my people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols." I was smote to my very core when I read that. My people have exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Verse 12, it said, "Be appalled at this, O ye heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord." Verse 13, "My people have committed two sins." Not fell into sin, but have committed two sins. "They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cistern, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." If you know, and I believe that probably the majority of us know here today, that Jeremiah was considered the weeping prophet. And you can, as you study and go through his words, that he was merely mirroring the heartbeat, the sadness, the pain that God himself felt. And that's why he was often weeping. If I can take us just for a little journey to lay some foundation here before I endeavor to preach here this morning. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 3, it said, "Israel
was. That little word was, three little letters, W-A-S, stood out because it said Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Past tense. I don't ever want God to speak of me in past tense. Amen. But here the word of the Lord said Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. They had lost their holiness, of which we have heard some of the most wonderful messages on holiness thus far. Amen. They lost their sanctity. They lost their consecration. They lost their dedication. They were no longer separate unto the Lord. They began to mingle things that didn't belong in their life. And in Jeremiah 5 and 6, just quickly here, skipping down, it said, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out hence shall be torn in pieces because I think that's very important for us to stop for just a moment and realize because there was a reason. There was a reason for this type of anxiousness and this type of happening. Of can you imagine knowing that the leopards were there and the wolves were there and all of these animals that wanted to destroy life? They were there because their transgressions were many, and their backslidings are increased. If we skip down a few more chapters into chapter number 13, verse number 17, another setting here that I'd like to point out. It said, but if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in a secret place for your pride. Jeremiah was delivering the heartbeat of God. Jeremiah was doing everything that he could to get the people to understand that God is grieved because you have forsaken him. And so he says this, my soul shall weep, because he's feeling the heartbeat of God. And why? It's because of your pride. And then he goes on and he says, and mine eye shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. But I want to remind us, it was because of their transgression. In other words, again, like Pastor has so aptly preached here recently, it is our choice. We have the opportunity to make a decision whether to continue on in the sin, in the transgression, in the folly which we may be in. Amen. But we have a God. And this is what's awesome, that even though some may have fallen, that some may have stumbled and maybe even made some very horrible choices, God would rather pardon you than punish you. He'd rather forgive you today than forsake you and write you off. He'd rather restore you today than reject you. Amen. We got to understand that heartbeat that God was feeling. These things were happening because of their sin, but he didn't want it to be that way. He didn't desire it to be that way. Of course, in the book of Lamentations, we know Jeremiah wrote there in chapter number 1 and verse number 12. It said here, and just one quick verse, I don't have enough time to go through it in detail this morning, but it says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And just quickly, so we get a snapshot of what's going on, is they became, the children of Israel had become so nonchalant about the things of God and what he had done for them. And I am guilty. I am guilty. I am guilty of coming to the house of the Lord from time to time and just going through the motions. Can I get a witness? Amen. At least a Baptist nod would be good. Right? We've all been guilty of coming to the house of the Lord nonchalant and just going through the motions. And this is where there's this great balance that sometimes going through the motions because we're doing what is right. I get that. Sometimes we're in that place where we're struggling. And it is good to know that this is what I'm supposed to do, whether I feel it or not. However, I don't want to stay there. I want to feel the presence of God, don't you? I want to feel His glory. I want to feel His power. I don't want to be stuck there in just going through the motions. However, it's good to clap our hands. It's good to lift up our voice. It's good to shout. It's good to do all of those things. Amen. Amen. But that's what had happened to them. Amen. Most of us would even, and there's been times, and I say this because I've been there. I've been there, and I've said, oh, not me. I'm not doing that. And who am I trying to kid? I may be fooling everybody else around me, but I'll tell you what, there's one that I'm not fooling. There's one that I'm never going to fool. I'm never going to pull the wool over his eyes. He's going to see right through the charade. He's going to see right through the act. And he's going to see right down to the heart of the matter. Amen. But all too often, let me just say I, because I don't want to pick on you. I'll pick on myself. Amen. All too often, I am found guilty as charged for not trusting Him as I ought. Yes, I am found guilty. This is where, again, that habit is not entirely bad, but it can become dangerous. I don't want it to come in and just pass by. He's talking about just passing by and coming in and going out, never being changed. Oh, God, change me. Change me. I can never get too smart. I can never know enough. And it's amazing how when we really will humble ourselves and get into the Word, how God will take a scripture that we've read 10,000 times and then all of a sudden go, now watch this. And your mouth drops. And you sit there in awe and go, I've read that scripture so many times before. And that's what makes the Word of God so alive. If we go to chapter 2 in Lamentations, verse number 11, he speaks again, Jeremiah. He said, my eyes do fail with tears, and my bowels are troubled. And I don't think he was talking about being sick. He was talking about it being so burdensome and so deep that it was troubling him to his very core. He said, my liver is poured out upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They had lost, Israel had lost their sense of righteous judgment. This word swoon means there was no shroud. There was no covering. There was no shelter. There was only a place where they could be overwhelmed and overtaken. But they had become so caught up in their own ways that they lost the sense of care. They lost the sense of loving. And so here the scripture said the sucklings and the children, the babies, were wandering around. What a bad, what a horrible, what a terrible thing to understand that they had become so caught up. But doesn't that sound just like our world today? I can't even imagine personally to have a woman have her child and just toss it in the dumpster or leave it in the stall of a bathroom. I can't wrap my brain around that. But that is the very thing that had happened even back then. So there's, again, no new thing under the sun. It's still, my point in case is that God still sees this. And he's grieved over these things. Amen. This is very sorrowful to God Almighty. If I can go back, I'm going to go back just a little bit and tie this together in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 19. He cries out here. I've listened to it in a dramatized version, but for some reason, I still don't think that it's quite with the emphasis that he really cried out. It does say, my bowels, with an explanation point there. He was in desperate anguish. He said, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. What did he say? You've heard the sound of the trumpet. You've heard the alarm, but nothing is being done. There's a certain sound that goes out. There's a certain sound that is sounded for us to go to war. And Pastor just even said it here the other day, and he's been talking about that certain sound and telling us, hey, this is what we got to do. We got to push a little bit further. We got to dig a little bit deeper. Whatever, however you want to coin the phrase. He's trying and he's sounding the alarm. And oh God, have mercy if we don't heed the warning. If we don't listen to the sound of the alarm. Because in verse 20 he said, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. That word, one word stands out that many of us probably want to know. Well, what does sottish mean? I get all the other stuff, but what does that mean? It simply is thick-headed. Thick-headed. Stubborn. That's none of us. We've all got a hold of that in our life, right? It's all right. You don't have to say amen. It's okay. Oh, no. There's times, and again, I'm sorry. I'm making the reference to Pastor. Maybe I'm just hanging on to his coattails and just continuing on and pushing this thing down the road a little bit further. But he talked about the king. Huh? Wasn't that a fabulous message that he just preached the other day about getting the king? Don't pull your king card out. That's what this was. They're sottish. They're thick-headed. They're stubborn. One place it said they're stupid. I know some people say, "Well, don't use that word." I understand, but that was one of the definitions. They're stupid. Amen. They're thick-headed. And why? Because the sound is blowing. The trumpet is blowing. The alarm is sounding. Today, if the fire alarm went off. Do we have a fire alarm in here? If the fire alarm went off, how many of you would say, it's not that big a deal? And the top starts filling in with smoke and it starts getting hard to breathe. Y'all say, no, I'm just going to trust in Jesus. It's not a real fire. If we did that, we would be sottish, foolish, stupid, thick-headed, Say, the alarm is sounding, the smoke is there, all the signs that the church is on fire. Yeah. We better get out. Yeah. Right? That's not that big a deal. No, every one of us would. However, when it comes to our relationship and getting close to God, how often have we found ourselves? Oh, God. How often have we found ourselves forsaking the fountain? Going back to our text, forsaking the fountains of living water and trusting in man-made. In man-made things. This doesn't have a crack in it. I almost brought a cup and I was going to break it in half or break the bottom out or something and give us a little bit of an illustration, but I think you'll get the picture anyways. We'll trust in things that are handmade. We'll trust in ourselves. And sometimes we talk about things that are handmade and we can say, well, I don't really trust anything that I've got or anything like that. You trust that you're going to go back to work on Monday or Tuesday or whatever it is, don't you? Because you got bills to pay. Unless you're independently wealthy, glory to God, hallelujah. Huh? And we just expect those things to happen. But are we really prepared that when the job ends on Tuesday to go, oh, I trust you, Jesus? We'd like to think we are. Then when we're tested, we really find out. We find out really what we are trusting in. When we're tested, we find out what we're trusting in. Am I trusting in things that are broken, that hold no water, that don't bring any long-lasting satisfaction? Or am I trusting in the foundation or in the fountain of living water? Because when we go to this place of living water, and I got to admit to you here today, there's been many times in my walk with God, whether young person, saint of God, teaching Bible studies and teaching Sunday school or pastoring or where I am today, doesn't matter. There have been times, and I still find myself struggle. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? And I still try to figure it out on my own. Now, I know the rest of y'all don't do this, so just allow me to preach to myself because this feels really good. All right? I try to figure it out. I want everything in order. I want to know what the next step is. I want to know what the next place is. I want to know how it's all going to work out. And so I begin to trust in my own abilities. I begin to trust in my own ideas, my own knowledge, my own wisdom. I begin to trust in my own strength. I begin to start trying, and it's very natural to do this. However, God is watching Israel do this, and they are turning to things, and they're making them gods that are no gods. And he's very grieved at his core, and I don't want to grieve God. I said, I don't want to grieve the Lord. But the fact of the matter is I have. And God, help me. Help me. Help me that I don't grieve you. Help me that I don't decide. Because it grieves me even today as preparing for this message and praying. And I just thought, God, I don't want to grieve you. I don't want you to look down upon us today. And I thought about this, that there's a lot of churches today that the Lord in a general sense is looking down. And as they're doing their plays and singing First Noel and all of these things that do not change, that do not make a difference. And they're going through all these antics of trying to honor the birth of Jesus Christ. He's weeping. And saying, I got so much more for you. You're trusting in things that are broken. You're trusting in things that don't fulfill. Oh, we've lived in a society of humanism so profoundly, and it doesn't bring any long-lasting relief. It doesn't bring any hope. It doesn't bring any deliverance. It doesn't bring any joy. It doesn't bring any peace. It's empty. It's broken. because we've learned how to trust. And what I find, I can remember, and please bear with me for a moment. I can remember when the homosexuality thing first started coming out, and it was people were popping out of their closet, so to speak. And many were just so disgusted. But now we see it so much, we have become desensitized to the depravity of the sin that is upon us, that even we ourselves that shun those type of horrific, ungodly, sinful actions. And let me be very clear. I don't hate the sinner. I hate the sin. I hate the sin, and I want to see them. I want to see them saved. I want to see them turn from their wicked way. I want to see them repent. I want to see God fill them with His Spirit. I want to see them baptized in Jesus' name. I want that for them. But it scares me to think how much sin has encroached upon us. And it has desensitized us. And we as the body of Christ have become guilty of trusting in broken things. Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. Spurgeon made this statement, and I've heard it preached and heard it said many times, but this is where some of it comes from. It said, God is too good to be unkind. He is too wise to make a mistake. And when I cannot trace His hand, I can always trust His heart. When I can't trace Him, I just trust Him. And trust is a very difficult thing. And trust, because how many of us have had to deal with trust being broken? Has it affected your other relationships? If we're honest, I've had broken trust with this and that and with this. And the problem with that is I equate that. I put that in the same relationship between me and God. Because you let me down, and you let me down, and you let me down, and you broke this confidence, you broke this trust, and so I think that this relationship with our, and what do we call them? Our Heavenly Father. And many, many people that don't have a father or had a horrible father relationship or abusive relationship, that's a hard one for them to get over, is to think that their Heavenly Father would care for them because their earthly father didn't care for them. And the beauty of what we've been taught here in the last two services, and I love the way Pastor did this, talking about math. Now, I'm sorry, I'm no mathematician. He went way over my head. I mean, way over my head when he was taught. I don't even know if I can say trig. Yeah, that one. Y'all are smarter than me. That's a big word. I have no idea what that is. I've never even seen it before. And maybe some of you are going, that's simple. Well, here. And he did. He put it in such a beautiful way to say, just follow the formula. Just follow the formula. It works. You don't have to know why. That's my problem. That's maybe not yours, but it's mine. It's my problem. I got to try to figure it out. And so the way he put that all these smart people sitting next to him were all trying to figure it out. And he's saying, just stop and just do it. I'm thinking, man, I just wish I could. I wish I could just stop and trust. I wish I could stop and trust the process, trust all of those things. And however,
does this make sense that when I'm in that place and when we are in that place, because we're gonna have those times where we're not gonna be that is grievous unto the Lord, and He's sitting there. I can see the Lord from time to time with tears, if you will, weeping, saying, if you only knew.
You're lacking comfort, but I already told you in my word that I would not leave you comfortless. You're lacking peace, but I told you that I would give you peace that passes all understanding, that none of what you're going through and none of what's been a heartache to you and nothing that has been burdensome to you, you can't read enough books to get over it. You can't have enough therapy sessions to get over it. You can't talk enough about it. And He says, but if you just come to this fountain, if you just come to this fountain, woman at the well, you're seeking for water, but I have water that you'll never thirst again. I don't understand it. I can relate to her. I can relate to the way she felt, being frustrated. You're right. The one that I'm with isn't my husband. I've had all kinds of relationships, and everything keeps falling apart. And there he was at the well side saying, I got something. I got something. I don't need a bucket. Because that bucket's going to break one day. And that bucket's going to wear out. And that bucket's going to be useless. But I've got a well of living water for you. But we've been guilty. We've been guilty. And I can I submit to you this morning that broken lives need more than broken cisterns. Broken lives need more than self-help books. Broken lives need more than therapy couches. Broken lives, and again, I'm not just totally diminishing all those. If it's under the guise of Scripture, if it's under the guise of God being the center focal point, okay, fine, whatever. I don't have enough time to qualify everything, but all I'm telling you is we depend so often on so many things that are natural, that are carnal, that are broken, that are going to wear out, that are never going to fulfill. While we really need sometimes is just to go to the fountain. I don't even know what to say. I remember a preacher praying that He hears the sigh of our breath when I can't even pray. I don't even know what to, anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, I don't even know what to say, God. I don't even know how to express myself. I don't even have words anymore, God. And you just sit there and you just... I'm telling you, He hears that breath that you just said, okay, I've been trying to hold it in this bucket and I've been trying to get everything together and I've been trying to put this all in a nice pretty package, but every time I try, it pops another hole and there's something else that breaks down and you just go... And so I can hear Jeremiah. I can feel Jeremiah's heartbeat. And I pray, God, that I can feel Your heartbeat. That we've trusted in things that are broken. While all we really need is to go to the wells of salvation. It's okay that you're broken. It's okay that you're messed up. It's okay that everything's chaotic and it's a wreck. Just come to the living fountain. Just come to the living waters. Because, church, I'm going to tell you, you're looking at a broken man. I'm broken. You say, oh man, why are you saying that in front of everybody? I don't care what you think about me. It don't matter anymore. I'm too broken. I'm just too broken. There's too many pieces all over the place. There are just pieces everywhere. And if God don't put those pieces back together, ain't nobody going to. Ain't nobody smart enough. Ain't nobody strong enough. God's going to put them up. And there's nothing. Can I say this in all sincerity, that there's just absolutely nothing wrong with being broken? There's nothing wrong with being undone. As a matter of fact, we all search for blessing. We all want blessing, 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 blessing. We all want all the great stuff. But every time I look in the Word of God, there's always breaking before blessing. And while we pray and we ask God to bless us, he said, you sure you want that? Sister Melissa, you sure you want blessing? She said, oh yeah, I want blessing. Okay, watch this. I understand, and I'm being a little bit dramatic on that, but I don't feel like I really am, because I think that that's exactly how it is. Okay, I got to break you. I've got to challenge you in order for. We all say, "Oh, I want to grow," and I say, "I want to grow, but don't hurt me." Jacoby is growing, and he's going, "Oh, my legs, my legs, my legs," but he wants to be a man too. You don't get to grow without some pain. Ooh, oh God. Pastor been preaching about having a revival, but we're not going to grow without some pain. But we got to recognize the pain. We got to recognize the breaking. We got to recognize those broken pieces. It's okay to be broken. Let God. Watch God. Watch God heal. Watch God. And they say that mosaics are worth more than the originals. I'm having a hard time with that one. Because nobody really likes to be broken. Nobody really likes to be broken. But how is it that we have become comfortable with broken things? Things that do not bring any long-lasting relief. Things that do not bring any long-lasting hope. Amen. I'm going to close. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. And again, I say thank you, Pastor Callan, for the equation. Because here's a simple mathematical equation, if I can so put it that way. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And yet, we make that so difficult. Yet, we all struggle, myself included. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, because it's easy for any one of us to do. As a matter of fact, I'll tell on myself a little bit more. May as well. I already wrecked it. Pastor was preaching when he said, leap for joy. I kind of chuckled. I said, oh, boys. I was back there doing Santa Hut. Leap for joy? Really? So you did that? Yeah, I did. And some of you did too. You just don't want to admit it. It's okay. I'll admit it for you, and you can just say, hey, man, that was pretty cool. All right? But I did, and I went, oh, but then he said that math deal again. After he said that leap for joy, I thought, man, if I don't do it, I ain't never going to get any joy. So that's just plain stupid on my part. Whose fault is that? Want to blame it on another situation. You want to blame it on your circumstance. But we got the equation. We've got it. Everything that we need is right there at our hands. Oh, God. Oh, God. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. When I read that again, I thought, it's not because it's there forever. It's because I keep coming back. It's not because it keeps coming to me, but I keep going back to it. I got to keep going back to the living fountain. I got to go back to the living waters. But it's so easy in our life. So easy to trust in self. I'm going to read just a few more scriptures, come to the music. Jeremiah 29. So it wasn't, I read all those other scriptures, weeping and all the destruction and all the frustration and all the stuff that was going on. In chapter 29, verse number 11, he said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, and to give you an expected end." He said, "And then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken." In the NIV it said, "For I know the plans that I have for you." And sometimes I don't know what the plan is, and I get frustrated. But he knows the plan. He said, I got it. I got it. And sometimes this is just me. Maybe you can relate to this. I go, "Okay, God, just because you got the plan doesn't mean I got the plan. So come on, give it up." And he says, "I just want you to trust me." I said, "I do." I see him cock his head and look. "You do? Well, you know. Yeah, you know, I do trust you." "Okay, then I got you in my hand. Everything's going to be all right. I know you feel broken. I know you feel desolate. I know you feel this way and this way, but there's all a purpose and a plan. It's all part of the process." Oh, God. He said, "Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Oh. And it's hard. I know it's hard. I know that it's hard when you're in the middle of the brokenness. I know it's hard in the middle of the brokenness to think of hope and future. Because sometimes it's all we can see is all of the chaos. And instead, we sometimes will try to trust in broken things. We'll try to make more money. We'll try to buy something else. We'll try to do this. We'll try to do that. We'll try to go here. We'll try to be there. We'll try all of these things. When none of that will fill. None of that will satisfy. He then said, "Then will you call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." And if you'll stand with me here today. Proverbs 3, verse number 5, it said, "Trust in the Lord with most of your heart." No, it didn't say most of your heart. It said, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart." And you know, we sing songs like, "I will give you all, if all is what you ask of me." And then I got to stop and I got to say, am I really giving it all? You see, we want to give God as we want to do it, give Him as much as we can, but we don't want to give Him everything. Oh, Jesus. "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding." This doesn't make sense. Here's the formulas. Here's the formulas. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Psalms 37 and 3 said, "Trust in the Lord and do good. so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I understand this morning, it's Christmas Eve. We've got family, all kinds of things happening and going on, meals being prepared and time with family and friends and so on and so forth. I get all of that. However, I really don't know why the Lord just spoke that one word, broken, and impressed upon me, broken. I do know that in studying that this time of year, suicide, unfortunately, is at the highest rates because of brokenness. And what a tragedy. Oh God, what a tragedy it is. And broken lives, brothers and sisters, broken lives need more than broken cisterns. And how am I going to convey the message of hope to them if I myself don't know how to depend, to trust, to go to the living waters, to go to the fountain that never shall run dry? You see, we don't need another quote. And understand what I say, we really don't need necessarily another message. We don't need another song. We don't need another this. And all those things are good and they're all part of it. But what we need is to go back for a long, refreshing drink at the wells of living water. Now, I know today I haven't spoken to everybody, because everybody's on a different place and a different plane, but I do know if there's any amount of brokenness in your life, the only fix, real fix, is to come to the fountain. Is to come to the fountain. And so I invite you today. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Broken, my life is in pieces. Don't ever forget, it's okay to be broken. Brother and sister, it's okay to be broken. It's okay. It's okay to be broken. But just trust. Trust and come back. Come back to the fountain. Come back to the fountain of living water. Take a deep, long drink. His strength is perfect in all of my weakness. Okay.
Your life you can restore.
It's okay. God would rather pardon you today. You may have failed. It's okay.
He's your best.
He's not looking to punish you today. He'd rather pardon you. He's not looking to forsake you today. He's looking to forgive you, to wash you, to cleanse you. Would you come to the fountain? Would you come to the fountain of living water? I know it's easy to trust in how tight your grip is on the pew. I understand that you don't want to step out of a comfort zone because of trust issues, because of things being uncomfortable. But I can promise you, break out, step out of that mold, trust in Him. Yes. Oh, He's looking to restore. He's looking to pardon. He's looking to forgive. He's looking to heal. He's looking to make whole. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.